Hi, I'm Andy Morris, the director of the Menuel Network, and I'm here today with a dear friend and brother, Nick. So delighted today for all of our friends out there and our partners in the gospel, just to get to know Nick and his wife, Courtney, and just what the Lord has been doing in their lives over the last few years and what we believe he's doing in the future. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you today. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, Nick?
Yeah, I'd love to. So my wife and I are from Canada. We were converted in the same local church and met on a missions trip. And ever since then, the Lord's been bringing us step by step in this call to ministry, which included moving down here to Louisville to attend Southern. We moved down here in 2016, joined Emmanuel Baptist Church. And we have a little girl named Lottie, and she's a handful, and she's a joy.
Wow, that's really cool. So, Nick, tell me a little bit about your testimony. You mentioned you were converted in the same local church as Courtney, but what about your testimony? Let's hear that.
So I grew up in what I call a VeggieTales Christian home, which was, you know, a couple of VeggieTales here and there throughout the week, maybe, and attending a church service now and then, but always believing in Jesus, quote unquote, Jesus, you know, Easter, Christmas, those things were about Jesus instead of about, you know, just the culture. So I grew up with a false understanding of, you know, my relationship with God didn't have anything to do with sin. I called on him kind of like a genie in a bottle to get me out of trouble when I needed him. And that was about it until I was 21 and I had lived years of, you know, a double life in the sense of claiming to be a Christian, but not living anything like it, only depending on God if I was in trouble or something like that. But then the Lord really, by his grace, sent someone into my life to ask me if I was a Christian. It was actually a homeless man in the city square. And he asked me, "Do you know Jesus?" And for that, this was the first time ever that I would say no. And the Lord used that. By the time I was out of that city park, I was bawling. I was weeping in my condemnation, just knowing that, or just for some reason, knowing the scripture that if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. And so the Lord just used that to show me my sin and that I wasn't related to him, that I wasn't reconciled to him in truth. And it was, you know, after months of just despair that God showed me his grace in the gospel. And that, much like Peter, who once denied him, he could be restored by the grace of Jesus. So, yeah, I heard the gospel, trusted, haven't looked back ever since, just been trying to never settle for anything less than knowing God and serving him fully.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's really cool. Cool testimony. Tell us a little bit about what your time at Emmanuel has been like while you've been here in Louisville.
Yeah, our time here has been fantastic. I mean, we've never been a part of a church as healthy as Emmanuel, and just come to learn it'd be hard to put into words how much we've received through the ministry of Emmanuel. And so we've been here for 4.5 years during my time at Southern Seminary, and we've enjoyed from the beginning being a part of gospel community groups, just doing life with, you know, intentional life with our brothers and sisters here. And for a few years now, we've been leading a gospel community group, which has been a great joy. I've been able to go through the pastoral apprenticeship and even serve afterwards, just trying to, invest in other guys who are going through it. And I've formed some of the deepest gospel friendships that I have here at Emmanuel. And it's sad to leave, but we're really excited for what's next.
Yeah, that's cool. I know the Lord has used you in many ways here. What are some ways that you've served here while you've been here at Emmanuel?
Yeah, so my wife and I, we've served both in Emmanuel Kids for a number of years, and that's been a joy just to see the kids grow up. We've served in on short-term missions trips, and we've gone to Southeast Asia. We've gone to South Asia to do everything from just care and support and to also do trainings over there. We've my wife and I have both been a part of some of the counseling ministry here, and that's been a joy just to grow and see the word take root in people's lives and just be a part of that. As well as, gospel community group, just doing life with each other, just pushing each other towards the Lord. It's been a great joy. I've also had, I've had a great experience preaching just locally at the rescue mission and serving with Launch International and Refuge and working among the refugees and seeking to reach our neighbors and love them well. That's been a great encouragement just to gain cross-cultural experience and really prime the pump for us to go overseas and to just to be submersed in cross-cultural experience. That's been a great opportunity for us to be stretched in a number of ways while we're in a community of people who care for us and support us and are doing the same work. So it's been a great joy.
That's an excellent point you just made there about, and knowing that the Lord is leading you to go overseas, taking those steps of faith now. And even as you've grown since the Lord has converted you, just taking the next natural step of what does this mean? What is this truth? What does the application of this truth look like in my life? And we call that, applying God's word to our lives. But even as you have noticed how the Lord is leading you to go to the unreached, you have sought to apply, what does it look like to live cross-culturally here now? What are small steps we can take now to begin testing that and to see if that is real? And so taking the short-term trips, living intentionally in a neighborhood where many of your neighbors have been born in other cultures and they've immigrated here to the U.S., and just trying to cross those barriers and to get into their lives and having a chance to share the gospel with them, that's been really cool just to see you all testing that.
Yeah, it's been stretching, but it's been really good.
So what about your family? You mentioned you have a daughter named Lottie. What's the significance of her name?
Yeah, so coming down to Louisville, we weren't Baptists before, but the Lord has certainly formed that since, which many of our listeners will notice, even just the name of our daughter. He's given us a burden for missions, but coming down here, we've just grown in our understanding of the Southern Baptist Convention and Baptist history in general. And knowing that Lottie Moon was this really this massive figurehead for Baptist missions, we couldn't find a more appropriate name for our little girl. We want her to grow up, loving God with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength, and pursuing Him fiercely and making Him known. And that was what Lottie Moon was known for. Sometimes she put people on a little bit of an edge because she was so bold and we admire that about her and want that for our little girl.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it when people name their children significant names and names that have a deeper meaning. And may the Lord do that great work in your Lottie's life to be like the famous Lottie of history. Amen. That she would pursue Him even above anything that the world has to offer. And call others to Him as well. That's cool. So, tell me a little bit about your calling or how you understand the Lord to be leading you and Courtney in these days. What are you heading into?
Yeah, so the Lord has always I've always had a burden for the lost around me, just like I was converted. Part of that story was someone just sharing the gospel with me in a bold way. I've just always wanted to share the gospel and always had a particular burden for those who haven't had access to the gospel. And so whether that was going on a number of short-term missions trips and just being involved and promoting the work of the gospel and the advance of the gospel, The Lord has just kind of constantly burdened me with that. And since coming to Louisville, really having godly examples of pastors and missionaries, the Lord's just continued to confirm that. And even to the degree that we would be burdened to go and serve and teach and preach and train leaders and plant churches. We believe that God's plan A is to make his glory known through the gospel and in the church. And so we want to go to those who have no local witness or the gospel is struggling to advance and to train leaders and make mature disciples and just see what God might do through his life-transforming word. So, yeah, we're eager to do that.
That's really amazing. And as someone who spent many years overseas and those words fall on me with weight and intentionality, like to go to the unreached. So when you say unreached people or go to unreached people, help our audience to understand what is that like? How do you understand an unreached people to be like, that you want to go and tell them this great gospel? What is it that makes them different from us?
Yeah, well, what makes them different is the gospel witness that's available to them. I mean, they're created in the image of God. They're lost in sin like the rest of us, and they have one access to salvation through grace in Jesus. And so, but the difference is that they cannot believe in him in whom they have not heard. And so we want to make that gospel known. Now, we can go and share the gospel, but we believe that the church as a whole is a beacon for the gospel and can do that. So we believe that evangelism is tied to church planting. And so we want to go and particularly focus on places where there's no indigenous church, where tribal or provincial lines have not been crossed or are struggling to be crossed. And we want to promote that. We want to disciple and we want to mobilize, as well as personally engage in making sure that the gospel witness is thriving and hopefully for generations, just see healthy churches that are able to handle the scriptures and to raise up their children to know the gospel and fear the Lord and to go and make him known.
Wow, that sounds very much like the New Testament and something that is a worthy endeavor. So as you and Courtney head out with little Lottie in your arms, we're with you, very excited about what the Lord is doing in your life. And we know that it will be a difficult journey ahead, learning a totally different language in Southeast Asia, and learning how to communicate meaningfully in a new culture. And we do pray that the Lord would save many people that are currently lost in darkness, who are made beautifully in his image, yet estranged from him and dead spiritually. And we desire to partner with you and to see his fame spread throughout the earth, and may he use you greatly.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time today, and we'll see you down the road. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.